So it's good to see you all out again today. I'm so glad you've be a part of us today here at Church of the Rockies. Today we're starting a new series. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at a few of the one another passages. There's over 30 one another passages listed in the Bible, ranging in several different categories. Mark 9:50, be at peace with one another. Colossians 3:13, bear with and forgive one another. Galatians 5:13, serve one another. 1 Thessalonians, encourage one another. And today we will be looking at the book of John at love one another. Now we have entitled this series, Better Together. Because when we live out the one another passages, we will find that we are better together as a church, as a family, as an individual. You're better when you live this out. You're healthier in Christ. You're stronger in your beliefs. You're more compassionate towards your neighbor. And when we are better at being obedient at what God has told us to do. So as we look at some of the one another passages, I ask that you would open your hearts today to let the Lord speak to you on this. As he has laid this on my heart, as I've studied this week about this, loving one another. What does it mean to love one another? What did Jesus mean when he said it? Today I want us to spend some time looking at what it means. Today I want us to look at that. What does it mean to love one another from the biblical point of view? Now, love is a word that in our American culture we have overused, and I'm guilty of it. I'll say something like, man, I sure do love that barbecue. Man, I sure do love that pair of shoes, or I love that car, or whatever. And in reality, you cannot have love for an object. You cannot love food. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're looking at me saying, oh, I don't know about that, but you can like it. You can want it, but you can't love food. You can't love an object. Because as human beings, we cannot love, period, without the grace of God in our life. Without God inhabiting our life, we can't love each other. So we have overused this word. We've used it to describe things that we like to do or that we enjoy. But today I want us to look at what Jesus meant when he said to love one another. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the book of John, to the 13th chapter of the book of John. And we'll read here shortly the 34th and the 35th verse of the book of John. Now this is opening up in the book of John in a very special time. Jesus and the 12 disciples are at the Lord's Supper. He has washed their feet. They have broken the bread. They've had the meal. Judas has just gotten up and left the room to go betray Jesus, where we're finna pick up. Now I want you to think about that just for a second. Judas, the one that was gonna betray Jesus, who was gonna sell him for 30 pieces of silver, has just left the room to go do the deed that the devil had inspired him to do. And as he leaves, Jesus begins to preach or to give a sermon or to do what Jesus does best, and that was to teach his disciples. And Jesus opens up at verse 34 of John 13. He says, I give you a new command. Love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Heavenly Father, today I come to you. Lord, I pray that you will use me today as a living vessel. God, that you will pour out of me, God, what you have prepared in me today. You will open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to your Spirit. Father God, I give this sermon to you. And Lord, I pray that you use me in a mighty way. And it's in your name I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus says three times in these two short verses to love one another. I believe he's trying to make a point. I believe he's trying to tell us that it's important that we love one another. I love the way he starts it out. He says, I give you a new commandment. I give you a new commandment to love one another. New here implies two different things. One, new does not mean new in time. God is love, and God has always loved his people. Love was not a new thing, but the word new here implies that it would be a fresh. It would be a new experience. It was not worn out or old, but it would be a new, fresh, reviving love is what Jesus is saying. Love would take on a new meaning and power because of the death of Christ on the cross. He's saying this just mere hours before his execution, to love one another. In just a few hours, probably less than 10 hours, these disciples who are hearing this would fully understand what Jesus meant by love one another. It had to change the whole concept of loving your neighbor as they approached Golgotha, to love one another. So it's a new, a refreshing, a new experience. Next thing the new implies is that it's not adding a commandment, but instead it's giving a new one to replace the others. To love one another. Now, as I was preparing this sermon this week, I got to thinking about this. When you go buy new furniture, you probably get rid of the old furniture. Most times. You go buy a new car, you probably get rid of the old car. Vice versa, different things. I did learn in discussion that it does not apply to shoes. I said, okay, that's fair. It don't apply to guns either then. But when you get a new, it's because you're usually getting rid of the old. You buy a new house, you sell the old house or something like that. So Jesus is saying, I'm giving you a new commandment. He didn't say, hey, I want to add a commandment to you. He said, hey, put this one down as number 11. Hey, for all the Jews, put this down as number 668. He says, I want to give you a new, I want to have a new, a refreshing. I want to have a new set apart. I want to have a new, there's something changing in your life. I want you to have a new commandment. I want you to love one another. Because let me tell you, when you take that one commandment, it pretty much wipes out all the other ones. It sums it up. Because when you love one another, there's no need to have a commandment that says, do not murder. When you love one another, there's no need to have a commandment that says, don't steal. When you love one another, there's no need to have a commandment that says, don't want what your neighbor's got. Because when you love one another, it changes who you are. It changes what you are. It changes the person. You become a new person in Christ when you love one another. I'm going to read a verse to you out of Romans 13, 8 through 10. This is Paul speaking here. Do not owe anyone anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and any other commandment are summed up by this commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. What I just said, some of you may have thought, man, you can't get rid of the Bible. I'm not getting rid of the Bible. I'm telling you what the Bible says. The old law went away when Jesus said, love one another. Because when you love one another, it changes who you are. When you love other people the way you love yourself, it changes who you are. Paul is clearly referring back to what Jesus said in Romans here. He said to love one another. Now, I know if you've ever been in church before, you've heard a preacher say what I'm finna say. But one of my favorite stories in the Bible is when the little lawyer dude comes up to Jesus and says, "Oh, great master," trying to make him sound like he was all goody-goody, "what is the greatest commandment?" And I love the way Jesus answers this, because I can just hear the sarcasm in Jesus' voice. And it reassures me that my sarcasm is okay from time to time. He says, "Man, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself." And that little old lawyer boy couldn't do a whole lot at that point, because he had asked for the greatest and he got the two greatest. Because when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, because he loves you, you can love one another. You can love your neighbor. That verse speaks volumes to love your neighbor as yourself. To love your neighbor as you love yourself. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty fond of old me. I love me pretty good. I try to make sure that I don't do anything that's going to put me in harm's way, except for maybe softball. I try to make sure that I'm looking out for me, that everything's taken care of. Why? Because I love me. I hope everybody in here loves yourself. But it says to love your neighbor as yourself. When you love one another in a way that you can love your neighbor like you love yourself, you got the love of Jesus in your life. It makes a difference. When we can look at a person who doesn't like us, when we can look at a person who claims there is no such God as we serve, when we can look at a person who wants to kill us because of what we believe, when we can look at a person that don't talk like us, don't look like us, maybe don't smell like us, they don't act like us, or they do things that we don't agree with, but when we can look at them and say, "I love you because Jesus Christ loves you and Jesus Christ loves me," you can love your neighbor like you love yourself. And when that starts to happen, we will see great things happen. We can have peace treaties forever. We can have war forever. We can ban guns. We can allow guns. We can trade. We cannot trade. But nothing will change this world until people come to the realization that we have to love one another. All people. Not just people like me. Not just people like you. But we have to love all people. Jesus quotes these words moments, hours before he is to be executed, to love one another like I have loved you. How powerful, how wonderful is that? That he said those words just hours before he would go to his death. When we are truly willing to love like Jesus says, to the point of all sacrifice, we will see a world shaken to its core. When we love in the capacity, people will know that we belong to Jesus. The last part of that verse 35 says, "And they will know that you're my disciples by the way you love." Man, that's powerful. Do people know that you're of Jesus because of the way you love? This next week, my family will be traveling south to visit our family in Mississippi. Sometime within the 7 to 8 days that we're at my mama's, it's going to happen, I can tell you. Somebody I do not know, or I may know, but it's usually somebody I do not know, will come up to me and look at me and say, "My goodness, you look just like your daddy." Well, my daddy's been dead 32 years. So I'm like, okay. And that's a compliment. I take it as a compliment for people to say that to me. I enjoy to hear that. It makes me feel good that they still recognize my daddy and they see it in me and stuff. But how much greater, how much more powerful is it for somebody to walk up to you and say, man, the way you love, you've got to be a disciple of Jesus. And I love people to say, man, your boys look just like you. Man, you look just like your daddy, whatever. But for somebody to walk up and say, man, you must be a disciple of Jesus because of the way you love, that trumps it all. That trumps it all. It's people seeing Jesus in our lives. It's people seeing our love for each other. It's people seeing the way we react and act as love of Jesus. I know sometimes I fail. You know how I know I fail? Because I have a daughter that's just like me, who's very opinionated, and she loves to share that opinion. And she gets that honestly from me. Yes, I'll take the blame. But we're not supposed to judge. We're not supposed to criticize. We're just supposed to love. We're supposed to love and hope that they will understand the true meaning of love, which only comes from knowing Jesus Christ. Be identified as a Christian because of the way we love one another is the greatest compliment I think we could ever receive. Being identified as a believer of Jesus simply not because we go to church on Sunday, not because we listen to K-Love in the radio, not because of anything like that, just simply because of the way we love people is the greatest compliment I think I could ever receive as a person. And I hope y'all can understand me. I'm kind of sinus issue going on today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me again over to Book of Thessalonians today. I want us to look at another verse there. In the first book of Thessalonians, Paul gives what I consider one of the greatest compliments that he could give somebody in the church. And it's all about loving one another here. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9, he says, about brotherly love, you don't need me to write you because you yourself are taught by God to love one another. In fact, you are doing this toward all the brothers and sisters in the entire region of Macedonia. But we encourage you, brothers and sisters, to do this even more, to seek and to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we have commanded you. How great it must have been to get a letter from Paul saying, hey, you've got this brotherly love thing down pat. You're doing awesome and loving brothers and sisters in the area. Just keep on doing it. You're doing such a great job. That could be just the greatest compliment you could ever hear. It's because somebody has said, hey, you're doing it right. You're living out what Jesus said to do, and that is to love one another. What is love? What really is love? I mentioned earlier that we want to love and objects, and you really can't do that. In the Greek language, there's four words for love. There's four words that describe love in the Greek language. Eros, it refers to a physical love. Storge refers to the family love or the love parents have for a child or their children. Phila, like Philadelphia, the love of deep affection, such as in friendship or even in marriage. And then the last kind of love is called agape love. And that's the love God shows toward us. When Jesus said, love one another, he meant it in a brotherly love or Philadelphia. You could say in a Philadelphia kind of love. In a brotherly love. Not in the church. And I'm not talking about this wonderful round building that we worship in. I'm talking about in the lives of brothers and sisters in Christ, in the church. We are to love one another with deep affection. Now, I don't know if any of y'all has ever preached a sermon before, but if you've not, let me encourage you to prepare at least one in your life and wear steel-toed boots and cover your feet with something. I am the most unaffectionate person you will ever meet when it comes to me telling you that I love you or hugging your neck. Even like Paul said, or Peter says in 1 Peter, the brotherly kiss. It just ain't there. I ain't gonna lie. I was studying this week, and I was like, Lord, are you sure this is what you want me to preach? I can assure you that I love you, and I'd do a lot for you, but I reckon I'm just the macho, tough guy. And my wife's over there laughing right now because she knows the truth. But I'm just not an affectionate person. And it's something I've actually prayed for, that Lord would change in me over the years. But to have the Philadelphia love for one another, a deep, affectionate love for our brothers and our sisters in Christ. What of a bond, how that bonds a relationship together. I love my children. I love my wife. I love my mama. I try to tell them all the time that I love them. I do that. But how much should we also ensure the ones that we're sitting around today are just our other brothers and sisters in Christ, that affectionate love that we have for one another? Because in the book of Acts, if you go read the first part of the book of Acts, it's pretty awesome. All of the Bible's pretty awesome. But it says that they were selling their goods to make sure everybody in the church was taken care of. That's Philadelphia love. When I'm selling my stuff to make sure that my brother and sister have enough, that's Philadelphia love. And I'm not asking you to go sell your stuff and start giving it to me and things like that. You know what I'm saying? But when we get to that point where we can love one another in that sense, we're fulfilling the gospel message of loving our neighbor. We're fulfilling what God said to do was to love and to be a part of that love. There is no place for dissension, for fighting, for gossip, period. It shouldn't happen, but especially shouldn't happen inside the body of believers as Christians. If we can't love each other, how can we love the non-believer? If I can't be around you and you can't be around me, how am I going to go love the person who don't know Jesus? See, Jesus was saying, love one another. Paul is saying, you're doing a great job loving your brothers and sisters. We're brothers and sisters. We're Philadelphia love because that means brotherly love, because we all have one Father. Our Father is Jesus Christ. And we have that one Father. But in 1 John 4:20, it says, if anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother or his sister, he is a liar. For if we cannot love whom we have seen, how can we love God whom we have not seen? That is simple, black and white. There's no gray area there. If I'm going to say I love God, then I've got to love everybody else. And that's hard sometimes. That's very hard to do sometimes. Especially if you watch TV, it gets even harder. Or even look at Facebook, it gets even harder sometimes to love other people. Inside the church wall, inside the church family, we should definitely be loving one another. We should just love to the point of overflowing. Because if we can't love inside the church with one another, if we have a problem with a brother or a sister in here, how are we going to show the love of God out there? How are we going to take what God has told us to take to love one another if we can't even love one another right here in this house? We can't take it out there. 1 John 4:20 is pretty blunt. If you're going to say you love God, you got to love everybody. Because that agape love, the way God loves toward us, that's the only reason we're allowed to love, period, is because He loved us. We cannot love in house and not love the world. We can't say we love each other if we don't love the people of the world. Do I agree with what the people of the world is doing? No. Do I want the things of the world to change? Yes. Am I going to love the person doing those things until they come to know Jesus Christ? Yes. Why? Because if I don't, what am I showing them? am I being a disciple? Is somebody going to recognize me because of who? Because I'm a Christian, are they going to recognize my love? Love is not simply based on feelings. It is expressed in our wills. Agape love treats others as God would treat them. I'm going to read that again. Write that down. Agape love treats others as God would treat them. That sounds kind of familiar. We usually, something similar to that, we call the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Thank you so much. That agape love treats somebody the way God would treat them. If my Lord and Savior can watch a man walk out of a door knowing that he's going to go sell him to be crucified for 30 pieces of silver and stand up and say, love one another as I have loved you, then I have to love people the way God loves people. And God loves all people. Because if God did not love all people, then Jesus would not have died on a cross for all people. Regardless of our feelings, regardless of our personal preference, we are to love one another to the point of laying down our lives for our friends. John 15 says, love one another to the point where you would lay down your life for your friend. That's pretty powerful words. I got some good friends. I got some great friends. I got one, I don't know if y'all knew this or not, but one of my best friends is Mike Tyson. I don't know if y'all knew that or not, but I am. Except for he's not black and he's only about 30 years old and he's never boxed. His name's Michael Tyson, actually, but I like telling people my friend's Mike Tyson. Michael is a church planter in Bozeman, Montana, doing a great work there for the Lord, doing a good thing. We've known each other 5 years. I've never told Michael I loved him. But you know what I do tell him? And y'all going to get a kick out of this. I tell him I wouldn't kill nobody for you, but I'd help you hide the body. And Michael knows what that means. He knows that's how I love him. When you can look at somebody to the point where you'd lay your life down for them, I'd lay my life down for my children, my wife, my mama, anytime I had to. But when you can look at a friend and say, I'll die for you, that's a love. And there was a man one time named Jesus. He said, I love you so much, I'll lay my life down for you. And the only thing I want you in return is you to love other people how I've loved you. How wonderful it is to know that we are to love like Jesus loved us. How wonderful it is to know that he loved us so much that he died for us so that we could be set free. I got one more verse I want to read for you today. Maybe I should have left the spidget thing in here. I'd have kept it marked. But it's in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5 and verse 15. I'm really sorry for the sniffling today. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15. And he, being Jesus, died for all so that those who lived should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. So let me paraphrase that. Jesus died for you, so you should quit living for yourself and start living for Jesus, is what that verse says. When you love one another to the point where you quit living for yourself and you start living for other people that they may know Jesus, that is true love one another. Now, a few weeks ago, we had an awesome training here. We watched a video all about love, and the man in it said something. When I watched it, it like just 10 pounds hit me straight in the gut. It says it's impossible for a person to love, period. Love is not natural. And that verse backs it up. Because self is all that we're worried about. Sinners indulge in sin because they're trying to fulfill self. When we come to a realization and a knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we quit living for me, and we quit worrying about me, and we quit all about me, and we start saying, I'm giving it all to you, Jesus, and Jesus is saying, then bless other people, that is loving one another. We cannot experience a godly, true love, period, until we have come to the realization of who Jesus Christ is, what Jesus Christ done for us, and that He died, and now we're His disciples. It's impossible for humans to love. Period. Because we're too selfish inside ourselves to love outside ourselves. But with the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the realization that He died for you, you're given the opportunity to love other people because of that. Jesus died so we could love. Jesus died so we could be set free. Jesus died so we would all be His brothers and sisters in Christ. And He simply said, love one another as I have loved you. And let your fruit be seen by other people through your love. As the worship team makes their way back to the front today, love is a powerful word. Love is a word that means a lot when you understand what it really means. Jesus' death on a cross was love. Do we have that Philadelphia love? Do we have that agape love? Do we love each other like we love ourselves? Do we want to experience and let other people experience the love of Jesus? In just a second, they're going to begin to play and sing, and let me encourage you to worship. Go to the Lord in prayer, whatever you need to do.